Scripture reading comes from Mark 14th chapter 55 through 64 verse. They were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they could find none. For many were giving false testimony against him, but the testimonies did not agree. Some stood up stating, "We heard him say, 'I will demolish this sanctuary made by human hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made by hands.' Yet their testimony did not agree even on this." Then the high priest stood up and questioned Jesus, "Don't you have an answer to what these men are testifying against you?" But he kept silent and did not answer. Again the high priest questioned him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And all of you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Thank you.
I'd like to share this morning some more of the last words of Jesus. We're all familiar with these seven last sayings from the cross. The last sayings of Jesus, I think, really began before that. I think it begins with his arrest, his surrender to his Father's will. And so I want us to look at these words that Jesus spoke, mostly in the garden, although these words here were spoken, well, the first were spoken in the garden. These were spoken before the high priest. You know that there was a trial, kind of a mock trial, kind of a kangaroo court, we would say. It wasn't really a fair trial at all. But there were some things that Jesus, most of the time he was silent. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, the Bible says, and as a lamb before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. But there were some times that he did speak during the time of his trial, not to defend himself, not to protest his innocence. We discussed that last week. But to reveal to us more of who he is and who this wonderful God is who sent his Son to show us more of his wonderful nature, his nature of love, his nature of mercy, his nature of being willing to lay down his life for us because he loves us. Well, what can we learn? What can we learn from these words that we're going to look at? Well, we've already read them. I want to call our attention to that passage. If you have a Bible, you might want to open it there to verse 55 of Mark chapter 14. If the words that he spoke previously in the garden could be called words of surrender. And remember, it was surrender to his Father's will. He never surrendered to the will of man. He was unconquerable. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so he could not do that. But he did surrender to the Father's will and to the Father's plan for his life, which was to give his life a ransom for many. A great example for us, but also a great glimpse we have here into the heart of God. And then there was a words that we're looking at today that I would call his words of supremacy. I would suggest words of supremacy. What kind of words are they? Well, first of all, they are words of veracity. Veracity means they're true. And you might say, well, you know, how do we know that they're true? I mean, we just take that on faith, what Jesus said. If you will take the time to read about the words of Jesus, his life, nowhere has he been accused of lying, even of sin. They couldn't even come up with a sin against him, except the sin of blasphemy, claiming that he was God. Now, is that not revealing about the nature of our Lord? Their source was this one who came into this world, and he came not to be a king on a throne as we would think in his earthly life. Now, he was a king, and we're going to look at that next week. Next week, we're going to look at words of sovereignty, which means that he claimed to be the king. Now, not just the king of the Jews, of course, but the king of the universe. But today, I want us to think about that source. Can we not trust what Jesus said is true here? And what did he say? I am. That's the beginning of the statement that Jesus makes. I like this translation because this is really the name for God. And Jesus was claiming to be God here. And the Bible says that God cannot lie. So if Jesus is God, then these are words of veracity. They're words of sincerity. Jesus spoke these out of a sincere heart, which means a pure heart. A heart that was unmixed with other motives. accept the motive of love for you and for me. I just want us to encourage us to take that journey once again to Calvary. I believe the title of our Easter program this year is going to be Come to Calvary. It's beautiful music, but a beautiful journey that we're going to take to a beautiful place, not beautiful because of its earthly setting. It wasn't a beautiful place. That hill called Mount Calvary, and that place that was a place of execution for common criminals. But it was beautiful because there our sins were dealt with. It was sincere. It was sure. There was sureness in these words because we don't find any hesitation, any stuttering or stammering here in the words of our Savior. He said, when he was asked, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" He said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." I want us to think about their, not only their veracity, but their antiquity. There's a revelation here in what Jesus said. He is revealing, kind of pulling back, if you will, the veil a little bit more to help us see who he really is. Now, there are people who say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, I take strong exception to that. I mean, if this isn't claiming to be God, I don't know what is. Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Son of God, in other words. Are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, "I am." Revealing who he is as the second person of the Trinity. A little bit more do we learn about that mystery of the Trinity, of the triune God. How he is one. How he is one, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's something revealed to us here that hitherto was concealed. And there's a reference here. Jesus said, "You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power." But first of all, he said, "I am the Messiah. I am that anointed one." And you know, there have been many that have been called Messiah. One very prominent person in our recent history, currently, is acclaimed as a Messiah. A Messiah, I think, not maybe the Messiah. And there are people that are looking, though, for the Messiah still to come. That one that will lift us up out of this world of perplexing problems, of sorrow, misery for many. I mean, it doesn't look like it's getting any better, does it? People are looking for the Messiah. Still looking. But the Messiah has already come. Messiah means anointed one. And that goes back, really, before even the mention of this term, anointed one. In the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke of the seed of the woman who had come and bruised the serpent's head. And so Jesus is again lifting the veil on these mysteries of antiquity. How he can be a man and yet be eternal God, who existed from eternity past and will forever be in eternity future. There's a rightfulness in what the Lord says. Here he says, you will see him coming with the clouds of heaven to, I believe what he's saying there, to reclaim what belongs to him. He was rejected. He came unto his own, the Bible says, and his own received him not. But ultimately, it was all part of the plan of God to send a substitute to die in our place, a Lamb of God, a spotless Lamb, a sinless Lamb to die in our place. So there are words of antiquity here, but I would suggest also words of divinity. Notice their profession here. We've already spoke of this, but I think it bears mentioning again and thinking about what Jesus is saying here. And in response to what question? The question was, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And did you notice the reaction of the high priest after that? It says the high priest tore his robes and said, why do we need witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And so there was a clear profession here. It wasn't, you know, it was mumbling under his breath something that maybe some misunderstood. But he spoke loudly and clearly, "I am." Again, taking that name for God. When Moses asked God, Who shall I say sent me? God said, I am. Tell them, I am has sent me to you. That was the name for God. And so there is a profession here that we can learn from, a position. Because here it says, the Lord said He would come at the right hand of the power. The power. That's God. And they understood that. The Jews were very, almost superstitious about the name of God. They wouldn't even pronounce the name of God. That's kind of tradition has really carried down to our translations today. Mostly where you find the title Lord in the Old Testament. That's that name for God. That mysterious name. Four consonants. Used to be, people thought it probably was pronounced Jehovah. Now there are a few that think it must be Yahweh. But we really don't know. It was a mysterious name. But here we have a lifting of that veil. God sent Jesus to show us what He is like. Because otherwise we would really never know God. Now that's not all, of course. But that's part of the reason why He sent Jesus, to reveal us, reveal Himself to us. And there's a possession here where Jesus said, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And we know from studying the book of Revelation and other scripture passages, more of the details of this, how He is going to come and reclaim what belongs to Him. Right now, He is a king in exile in heaven. He's still king. He still has all power. He said, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. But He was rejected. And He went to the cross willingly. We saw that last week, how He surrendered Himself to His Father's will. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. And He yielded Himself to the Father's will to die on Calvary's cross for us. But one day the Bible says, Jesus said here, He would be coming at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven to reclaim what belongs to Him. Now there have been some kings in history that have done that. It hasn't happened often. But there have been kings that have been driven into exile and then have come back to reclaim what rightfully belongs to them. And usually it's a time of mixed blessings, because often they will come back in wrath. And the Bible says that He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Him. And that's why it behooves us today to make our peace with Him, to receive Him into our life as He came, meekly and humbly, offering Himself to His Father's will and dying on Calvary's cross for us.
Oh, the sound of rushing waves. In the quiet.